We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters.
Staring to the side.
Donald Trump looks right into the sun.
You don't see eye to eye with that heart.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
We'll be right back.
Can we begin with a potential third criminal indictment for former President Donald Trump?
You once, twice, three times
indicted.
We've confirmed with two federal law enforcement sources that Special Counsel Jack Smith has notified Donald Trump he's a target in the 2020 election interference probe. Is another federal indictment against the former president on its way?
Donald Trump was sent a target letter by Special Counsel Jack Smith. This one about his role in trying to overturn the 2020 election. Donald Trump announced it in a Truth Social post this morning. Federal law enforcement sources confirmed the former president was sent that letter. We often call this investigation the January 6th investigation, but it is about more than just that day. We've seen myriad Trump aides, state officials, and fake electors at the grand jury in Washington, D.C., suggesting that Jack Smith's team is trying to find out everything that happened in the aftermath of Donald Trump's 2020 loss. What was Donald Trump's state of mind? Witnesses were reportedly asked. Did he know he lost?
Donald Trump lost an election and knew he lost an election, and as a result of his loss, decided to wage an attack on our democracy.
Do you know if anybody ever told the president that he had lost and that there wasn't a chance of him winning?
I know that the president, when the networks called it, of course, he was informed about the network decision. That afternoon, at some point, myself and a handful of other folks went over and sat down with the president and communicated that the odds of us prevailing in legal challenges were very small.
So we're in the Oval and there's a discussion going on. And the president says, I think it could have been Pompeo, but he says words to the effect of, yeah, we lost, we need to let that issue go to the next guy, meaning President Biden.
I remember maybe a week after the election was called, I popped into the Oval just to like give the president the headlines and see how he was doing. And he was looking at the TV and he said, can you believe I lost to this effing guy?
Mark raised it with me on the A-team. And so following that conversation where the motorcade ride driving back to the White House, and I had said, like, does the president really think that he lost? And he said, you know, a lot of times he'll tell me that he lost, but he wants to keep fighting it. And he thinks that there might be enough to overturn the election, but, you know, he pretty much has acknowledged that he's lost.
So I wake up this morning. Seems like a nice morning. Seems very nice. And the birds are chirping. The Russian prostitute is leaving my bedroom very peacefully, not complaining about not getting paid. My wife, Melatonin, is out of town with her son, Bartles and James. And everything seems nice, okay? Everything seems nice. And then I get a target letter. They call it a target letter from Department of Injustice. And at first, that should tell you a lot. Why not a Walmart letter? You know, because I'm a strong conservative and all our supporters, they like Walmart. It's the radical left people who like to go to Target. But now they send me a Target letter to rub it in, I guess. And I see that the peaceful protest on January 6th, which was peaceful, very peaceful. How could it not be? If you have a person so relaxed enough to take a dump on crazy Nancy Pelosi's desk, how could it not be peaceful? Have you ever gone to the bathroom during a riot? You ever walk and see a riot and see somebody taking a big dump? Nah, because it's not peaceful. But when you're at peace and just enjoying your country and, you know, hoping that your president will stay president, you get relaxed. You have a nice cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee, but some of these people drink coffee and then they say, oh, you know what? I feel relaxed. I think I'll go into the Speaker of the House's office and take a big dump. That's how relaxed I am with this peaceful protest. But no, they've sent me a target letter, okay? And they're going to prosecute your president. They're going to indict, okay? There's a C in there, don't forget. A lot of people don't know that. Some people, not me, might have called it indict. And I know that trait of Mike Pence. One time he heard me say indict and he ran in. You've never seen Mike Pence run so fast when he heard me say that. But no, you saw him run faster when that peaceful protest came for him, very peacefully. But the point is, I'm under attack again. The Department of Injustice is coming after your president. So please peacefully take dumps wherever you see Jack Smith. Thank you.
While we await an indictment out of Georgia related to Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election in that state, there is new reporting out today about what that indictment might actually include. Today, the Guardian newspaper is reporting that Fulton County DA Fani Willis has in recent weeks weighed potential statutes under which to charge Trump. And they are solicitation to commit election fraud, conspiracy to commit election fraud, solicitation to destroy ballots, and solicitation of a public officer to fail to perform duties. Now, an example of soliciting a public officer to fail to perform duties could be President Trump calling the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and asking Mr. Raffensperger to find 11,780 votes so that Trump could win the state. Experts also think the former president could have legal exposure under the conspiracy statute for the steps that his campaign took to replace the state's legitimate electors with 16 fake Trump electors.
The charges that they're looking at here are sort of bread and butter charges for prosecutors. And a conspiracy charge is a fairly simple thing to explain, and that is that it's just an agreement between two or more people to do something wrong here, and they have to take some overt act or some step in furtherance of doing that. And so that can be as simple as having phone calls or sending emails about setting up the fake electors. That can be, having people on the line saying we're going to pressure the Secretary of State to do something as it accounts to the ballot. So that's fairly simple. And the solicitation is just asking somebody to do something. So in this case, you know, there's a question whether or not the phone call will be sufficient evidence to show that he was asking Brad Raffensperger to do something wrong, or was he asking people to go in and take voting machines or data out of certain registrar's offices? And so if you just think about this, you got to have there's an issue of an agreement, and there's an issue of whether or not he's asked somebody to do something. And so I think she'll have the evidence there to put that forward. And, you know, obviously we're at the beginning stages of the race with whatever charges she comes out with, and they'll have to prove their case at that time to all the jurors. But nonetheless, something I think that there seems to be at least some evidence for her to get an indictment from the grand jury here.
Yeah, Andrew, the phone call seems to be critical here. I mean, there's the request to find 11,780 ballots that Trump makes to Raffensperger, but he also threatens him with criminal prosecution. The notion that the president of the United States is threatening the Secretary of State on the telephone with prosecution, is that sufficient? I mean, do you think that there's any sort of wiggle room on a phone call like that?
Alex, I'm really happy that you're focusing on that part of the tape, because I think if you put those two pieces together, the find the votes, the fact that Brad Raffensperger says, but there is no fraud, we've checked, there's nothing there, and then you have the then sitting president of the United States not very subtly saying, you know, it would be terrible if you found yourself at the other end of an indictment because of what you're doing. Now, Brad Raffensperger wasn't committing any crime at all. I mean, even if you thought he was wrong, it is not a crime to be wrong. So the idea that he was threatened with criminal prosecution by the president of the United States, I think that is one that, because there will be obviously some additional evidence, I think that goes a really long way with a jury. That is not normal behavior. Even if you thought that you had won the election, that is not how you behave. And it goes a long way to understanding this was a way of extorting a state officer to not do his duty.
Trump's former attorney Rudy Giuliani is conceding now that he made false statements about two women who worked the 2020 election in the state of Georgia. That's from a court filing related to a lawsuit filed by the women who alleged they were harassed after Giuliani claimed they committed election fraud. They did not. In the filing, lawyers wrote Giuliani, quote, does not contest that to the extent the statements were statements of fact and otherwise actionable, such actionable factual statements were false. I'll translate that for you. He lied.
dying day. I'm gonna keep you till your dying day. I'm gonna kneel down by your side and pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. Wow! Wow! All day long. All day long. All day long. All day long. Yeah! All day long.
Former president who promised his supporters they'd get tired of winning has continued his losing streak. Trump had requested a new trial in the E. Jean Carroll defamation case, calling the $5 million award for Carroll a, quote, seriously erroneous result. Judge Kaplan has denied his request for a new trial, saying that the jury in this case did not reach a seriously erroneous result and that its verdict is not a miscarriage of justice, which means that Donald Trump will not only have to pay the $5 million that he was seeking to get decreased or eliminated, but he'll also have to look forward to the next trial against the same plaintiff in front of the same judge for a not entirely dissimilar complaint. And I'm not going to guarantee that E. Jean Carroll is going to win, but I really wouldn't want to be Donald Trump in this case. And bear in mind, that case is all the more difficult for Donald Trump given the fact that just days ago, he issued new defamatory claims against E. Jean Carroll after the DOJ withdrew itself from defending him in court. He'd taken to Truth Social, writing, "The DOJ will not defend me in the E. Jean Carroll civil case, which is all part of the political witch hunt, lawyered up by a political operative who I just beat in another case, financed by a big political funder, and judged by a Clinton appointee who truly hates Trump. The statements that I made about Carroll are all true. I have no idea who she is, what she looks like, or anything about her. The net result of this horrible injustice, where a completely unknown to me woman made up a ridiculous story, wrote it in many books to increase publicity and sales. I correctly disputed the story and got sued for defamation, whereupon a hostile judge and jury shockingly awarded a woman who I don't know, have never known, and don't want to know $5 million, while at the same time throwing out the fake rape claim. We are strongly appealing this travesty of justice." And as I mentioned, that new temper tantrum was set off by the development that the DOJ would not substitute itself in as the defendant in Trump's second defamation case against Carroll. When Bill Barr was the attorney general in the White House, he allowed his own Department of Justice to do so under this baffling assertion that everything Trump did while in office was acting within the scope of his duties as president, even apparently attacking his own abuse victim. And then under Merrick Garland, the DOJ eventually reversed that decision because clearly defaming E. Jean Carroll was not within the scope of Donald Trump's presidential duties.
But I think we need to cut to the chase here about what all of these proceedings are about. They are about a criminal president of the United States who attempted a coup, who tried to take over the legitimate functions of government by staging a coup so that his lawfully elected successor could not take office. And the greatest danger is obviously from Trump. What is he? He is the first seditious president in the history of the United States, a president who attempted to foment an insurrection to stop the legitimate transfer of power and functioning of the United States government. Listen to what Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, said on that day after January 6th, that only one person was morally and practically responsible for this insurrection: Donald Trump.
He takes this case to trial, and he's convicted. which based upon what I've seen in the indictment, I believe he would be. Then he's facing jail time. Because part of what the Department of Justice has always done under all of the attorneys general that I've seen in my lifetime is, if we offer you a plea, which I'm certain they will, and you turn it down, and you take us to trial, and you're convicted, that judge is sending you to jail. And I think that's what he goes to bed every night thinking. Every night. And all this bravado and everything else, I've known him for 22 years. And when I was doing these cases in New Jersey, and I would put political figures in jail, he would say to me, I could never do that. I could never go to jail. And I'm telling you, no matter what he says, no matter how he's bragging and going on and about him not being afraid, he goes to bed every night thinking about the sound of that jail cell door closing behind him.